have kind of what?
And we need some kind of disclosure. Why? It's significant, like gloves.
Like that's bad, I mean.
Exactly.
What are they here?
How can you have seen all of this with less people?
You would think we'd be getting a medal for that, not the opposite.
It just doesn't make sense to them.
Two points.
I got my Google from Kyle. It's very good. Don't like that project. I like that system. It's really slick. Now that I realize what I'm doing, after a month of trying to.
She came in because I questioned the guy again, and I said, you know, you're going to have to tell me who did this last year. So then he comes back and he goes, you're going to do it last year. I said, she didn't do it last year. But Tori just said she did. So then Tori comes down and she goes, I talked to Cheryl, and Cheryl said she would do it. She's done it before.
I don't think I said I've done it before. Maybe I did. Honestly, I don't remember. This is easier than I thought. And they gave me a link. So it took me right into where I needed to be. Had all the information filled out. And all I had to do was upload the form. Check the box. No.
This is what I heard about this. So, you know those financial issues. So the guy that developed all that before they called it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the May 15th meeting of Orville City Council. If everyone would please stand. Dear Lord, thank you for providing us with this wonderful day. Be sure that our motions this evening agree with what you would say it should be. Make sure to keep our community well within your hands and help us to provide a great space for our citizens to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Shu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Asparis.
Here.
Forkman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our last meeting on May 1st. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to those minutes? Mr. Vance.
I move we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Chu.
Wilson?
Abstain.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Forkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Thank you. This evening we do have public comment from Joseph Villegas, the Director of Wayne County Emergency Management Agency. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Reason why I'm here tonight is I wanted to share with you a little bit about what we're doing.
If you can you speak at the back? It's got a microphone at the podium.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Sorry. Okay. My name is Joseph Villegas. I'm the EMA director of Wayne County. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to share a little bit about the mitigation planning that we're doing right now. Every 5 years, we're supposed to update the county mitigation plan. Well, what I mean by mitigation is pre-disaster mitigation. Typically, we may have areas around the county that always get hit by natural hazards and maybe is always damaged or we have repeat claims with the insurance that always get flooded, let's say, or maybe high wind always damages it. Sometimes applying a pre-disaster mitigation project into it would solve the problem. And what we're hoping to do is be able to invite different people from communities to come in and join us in our meeting on May 17th to try to identify some of these areas. A lot of times local community members know where these items are, and if they're shared to us, we can include that into our planning process, which we're actually starting right now. planning process actually takes about most of the year, probably about 6 or 7 months. And we're supposed to do this every 5 years. I brought some information from FEMA about local hazard mitigation planning, and if you don't mind, sir, I'll just go ahead and just pass it down there. And what we're hoping to do is during this meeting, because we have different people from different communities going to be present in this meeting, sometimes you may not think about what might be or what might be available in your community, but hearing it from other people from around the county sometimes triggers your memory, and it would be a good idea to send a representative from the city of Oroville to join us this coming Wednesday. Like I said, the meeting is going to be at the Justice Center at the EMA office. And just a few points that I wanted to bring up. Like I said earlier, the mitigation plans are required to be updated every 5 years. The last update that we did was roughly around 2010. You may have received a letter from us sometime late last year about our intent to go ahead and start the update process for the mitigation, the county mitigation plan. Right now what we did was we hired a contractor to be able to do the planning process for us. Local participation from township, cities, and villages are very important for the success of this plan. In order for, let's just say you have some attention items that you wanted to add into the mitigation projects, and let's say in about 2 or 3 years we decide to apply for a grant for that, the chances of it getting approved for a grant is very, very low if it's not in the plan. So it's a good idea to include that into our plan right now. And then there are several meetings scheduled that during this 7 or 8 months that I was talking about. This is after we've identified a few of these projects or attention items that we can include into our planning process. So what I'm asking for the city is to identify someone within your community who could come and join us during this meeting, particularly someone who might be more familiar with some of the attention items around the city. Typically, fire chief is the one that comes and joins us, but sometimes someone from your utility department could also be a very good candidate to come and join us. Whoever you think might be a good person to be able to identify some of these items. So, do you have any questions? Yes, sir.
You said the meeting's on May 17th. Is there a time frame?
It's at 1:30 in the afternoon. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned that the plan has to be updated at least every 5 years. Any major changes since the last update?
You know, the last update that we had, we didn't really have anything major that was placed into the plan. But you know, of course, the environment changes. Sometimes it's hard to identify what would be areas that needed attention today versus 5 years ago. We're attempting to try to identify those now.
Okay.
Any other questions? Well, if nothing else, because part of it is that we're trying to fulfill a grant requirement, what I was hoping to do too is, this is just for us to be able to meet our soft match. Every time I do come and talk with members of council in any village or city, I do ask for attendance to see who actually was here to hear my message. So if you don't mind, if I could just pass this piece of paper around, basically it's just saying name, title, and then signature, just to show that you were here and heard my message, if that would be okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll just come back and... Yes, sir.
I'll just let you know, too, because of the Sunshine Law, that the meeting, the minutes for this meeting will also reflect your conversation in this meeting.
Sure. Yes.
That's public information.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, though, for the grant, they wanted to see kind of like a sign-off sheet. Yeah, if you want to drive, please, I'd really appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Villegas.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
We will move to our standing committee reports. Mr. Asparis, Finance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Grimlin was so gracious to hand me a gift this evening.
It's here again, the 2018 budget calendar. So we've distributed this amongst city council members. And I think this calendar will work. It's a tight schedule, so we appreciate the cooperation of everyone. It will start out with the directors preparing their workbooks. And hopefully, if all goes well, those workbooks will be to council on July 3rd, which is actually a Monday. And that's our regular council meeting. We'll also have first reading and a public hearing. And that is the day before 4th of July. So, yes, we are open at City Hall, and we will be having a regular council meeting prior to that Monday. And then also on the 10th, we'll have a special meeting of council and workshop. And at that same time, this 2018 budget calendar will be up for second reading. And then if all goes well, third reading on July 17th at our regular council meeting Monday night. And then on July 18th, we are required to have the budget filed with the Budget Commission. So I've approved this calendar. That's all I have, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick, yes. Motion to approve the calendar.
Oh, yes. I do have to make a motion to approve this calendar.
Okay. Second, Mr. Corker.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll now move to utilities. Mr. Corkman.
Thank you. Utilities has no report.
Thank you. Health and safety. Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Health and Safety Committee does not have a report tonight.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report tonight.
Thank you. Transportation. Mr. Shoup.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have a report, but I do have a little information I want to let everyone know. I had a short conversation this last week with Dan Lowe, or Lau. How do we pronounce Dan's last name?
Lau.
Okay. He's been working with Mr. Wheeler, I believe, and he let me know that we're working on changing the High Street and Main Street intersection to possibly be a right turn on red. Which I guess we don't have a problem with the criteria at this point in time.
Not at this point.
For visibility and that. And I've had a number of people say something to me about the backup on High Street with that intersection. So I think if we can accomplish that, that will help quite a bit. Also, you and I have talked before about once we can get full control of the timing of the lights, we can try to change the cycles on the High Street so that it releases quicker than what it's doing now. So, but I did want to let everybody know we're working in that direction. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shoup. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's nothing to report, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have not met, and I have no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Handwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Really just one item tonight, and that is to mention that our Memorial Day speaker this year will be Lieutenant Colonel Andre Johnson, who is a former graduate of Oroville. And so we're happy to have him travel back here from the state of Maryland to speak to us on Memorial Day morning at the cemetery. And he is married to another alumni of Oroville, Angela Lester, and he is also the son of Daryl and Alicia McDonald, both Oroville alums also. So we're glad to have him back, and I wanted to just mention that to our speaker will be this year. We'll have a longer report about him when we get to Memorial Day introduction.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Move to our Safety Service Director. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some of you might have noticed the flags today at City Hall were flying half-staff. This is in honor of Police Officers Memorial Day as a tribute to peace officers and in honor of peace officers who, through their courageous deeds, lost their lives or became disabled in the line of duty. So please keep them in your thoughts and prayers today. Our street department continues to work on basins, prepare the cemeteries for Memorial Day ceremony, and getting the pool ready for its grand opening here in the next couple weeks. And speaking of the pool, Friday, June 2nd, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., we will be pre-selling pool passes at Aura Pool. That's an annual tradition to do it the Friday before the opening. $80 for resident family, $120 for non-resident family, $40 for resident single, and $60 for non-resident single. And the pool will then open the following day, Saturday, June 3rd. And that is my report for tonight.
Thank you. We'll move now to our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one item. We do have a resolution later on in new business that I'll speak to, but just wanted to make one comment. Last week, you may have read or heard about some of the cyber attacks that have been taking place throughout the globe. Just wanted to let you know that our systems of the city and utilities were not impacted by that. A lot of hype over that. There is a true concern over the that type of attack there, but that did not have any impact on us right now. We are not 100% invulnerable out there, but we do have a very robust security system in place that protects those critical systems as well as all the other assets that are computer controlled. So in case you were wondering, we escaped that action last week, but we're never out of the woods on that. We spend a great deal of time and a great deal of money making sure our computer systems and our networks that oversee our utility operations and our city operations are as up to date as possible. And I just encourage you, at least on your home computers, if you haven't gone to Microsoft yet and you haven't received an alert from them yet, to update your computer to do that as soon as possible. I'll hold my other comment to the resolution at the appropriate time. And that's all I have tonight, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Move to our finance director, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one item tonight, and that would be the fund balance report for the period ending April 30th, 2017. And I would just ask for a motion to approve that subject to audit.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Asparis. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Take care of everything for you, Ms. Kremlin?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report today. I am going to request to piggyback on our executive session to give an update on pending litigation. That's all I have.
Thank you. For my report this evening, it's great to see around town that small things are starting to happen. The weather has broken. We hope we will see no more snow until next winter. So I hope you can put your salt away, Mr. Wheeler.
I hope so too, sir.
That cover it up. We don't want to get it back out again.
Right.
We have no old business on our agenda for this evening, so we'll move to new business. Mr. Larson.
Resolution number 2417. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Yes.
Wilson? Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 2417. A resolution for the performance of pavement repairs and resurfacing on State Route 57 in the city of Orville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is, in my mind, one of the easier ones of the night. ODOT has plans to resurface all of Main Street from the north boundary of the city to the south boundary. with 80-20 funding. This would occur in 2018. This is what they're calling a preliminary expression of interest. So that's what we have before you tonight. We are planning to meet with them next week, actually, which is sort of a kickoff meeting in regards to the project. Keep in mind, the 80-20 does not cover base repair. That would be 100% funded by the city. I do plan extensive base repair, particularly on those ends that we've seen fault quicker than probably they should have, particularly on that south end. So I do expect that it will require some significant dollars from us in addition to the 20% share. At this point, the estimate for the project is $2 million, but as we get further into it, we'll know more and have more details.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Vance.
What's a comment? I remember when we did this last time, just trying to get every assurance possible. Yes, we are going to fix the base. We're going to do it right this time. And then had problems with it, and it was like, well, we didn't have enough money to do all the work we wanted to do. And so I just wanted to, express a renewed interest in let's do what it takes. And, I don't know how much extra repair will be required this time versus last time. But, let's get it right.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here for the last project in regards to the planning side. I literally came right as we were in the paving cycle. But I rest assured that we plan to definitely focus on the base repair. That's significant for the life of the project, obviously. And that south end suffered much quicker than it should have. And I didn't say I wasn't here to negatively affect anyone that was here before. We're going to make sure.
Yeah, I think it surprised everybody that it kind of broke down that fast. But
right.
Whatever we did last time, let's do that and do some more.
Yes, sir. I agree.
I will say, I think in relation to last time, it's one of those things where the base of that road, I'm sure we did what looked like it should be good enough, and then it went other places. To seriously redo the base of everything that needs it out there, you're probably talking to our portion being that $2 million, I would think. It could be. That road, the amount of traffic on there is unbelievable.
Yes.
And I know there's still some old bricks down there as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some challenges with the base repair, but I think now is the time to do that rather than come back and hope that that it gets paved again in the next 9 to 10 years. So.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. This project will also probably hold till July. Like all our other
I don't believe so. The funding, I'll know more after next week, but I don't believe there's any funding issues. That's a good question in regards to whether or not what budget cycle those dollars are in. I should know more. That's a great question.
Yeah, because this is actually ODOT funds that are coming in, so it's not a grant that's coming out of Columbus.
Correct.
Normally get to. It would be nice if they could start it early in the season. So.
Yes, sir.
It also definitely means it might be end of October, too.
Well, good point. Yeah,
that's true. Okay.
Any other questions or comments on this?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Shute.
Borkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
I move resolution number 2417 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Resolution number 2517. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Portman.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution number 2517, a resolution authorizing the President of Council of Bordeaux, Ohio as alternate delegate to represent the City of Orrville, Ohio as a member of the Board of Directors of the Ohio Municipal Electric Association.
I can speak to this. The OMEA, of which we are a member, Mayor Handwerk is our delegate there and serves on that board, has requested that we have a mechanism in place to appoint an alternate in the event that the mayor is unable to serve, either temporarily or permanently. So this resolution that they are proposing allows our president of council either himself to serve or to appoint a delegate to serve. In reading through here, there are a few things that we felt needed to be clarified just so that it was clear that we're not changing our current delegate, the mayor, but instead we're just allowing an alternate to be appointed by the president of council in the event that that would be necessary. So the title, we added the word alternate, and Mr. Lurson read that. There's also a change in section one, about midway through that paragraph, where it starts the sentence or the line that starts municipality. We have taken out the word a director and added an alternate delegate, again, just for clarification. I think that was what it was intended, and this is language that was provided to us by OMEA, but we wanted to be clear on what we were going about. So with your approval, we'll make those two slight changes to the language, and if you pass it as amended.
Yes, sir.
Also, just to point out, that is the city's position on that board is an elected position. I think it's every 3 years that we are up for election again. So it's possible we would not have that spot at some point. We've had that for the last 9 years, I think. So it is not permanent. We could lose that position just as easily as not.
Law Director Kirk Bryden, would it be appropriate for me to read Section 1 now with
sure.
the changes?
Sure.
Okay. Section 1, that effective immediately, the President of Council, as an incident of his or her official capacity, he and is hereby designated for the period of his or her service the representative of the municipality on the board to act on behalf of the municipality in the discharge duties as an alternate delegate, and that the President of Council may designate in writing another official of the municipality as the alternate representative, alternate, to the director to serve during such period as the director may be unable to represent the municipality.
Thank you. That's a mouthful. Anyone have any questions? Mr. Vance.
Seems like the mayor ought to be able to do this delegation rather than having to elect the president of council to do the delegation. But I'm fine with all of this. It just doesn't make any sense to me why our delegate can't do the delegation.
I think the idea is if the mayor were unable to serve as the original
so
delegate.
He's not even available to make the... Okay.
Potentially, I guess.
Like president, vice president.
Yeah, I guess. And so, Speaker of the House and all
you're
that.
You're one heartbeat away.
My original request was asking our president of council if he would be the alternate.
Yeah.
And so I guess actually at that point, if you chose not to, you could also appoint somebody then.
Right.
And that's fine with me. I would accept that alternate position, and hopefully you don't fall off the face of the earth, because I may not have time to do it forever.
And this flexibility is okay with the OMEA?
Yeah, like I said, we are
the ones
just,
that requested this.
We're just clarifying that language.
They've asked for a
language.
Couple years that all the cities that are represented have this in place, and a few of us have just kind of dragged our feet and not had it done yet.
That's good.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
I move resolution number 2517 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Korfman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution number 2617. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Porkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 2617. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the asphalt resurfacing of East Oak Street, Arlington Drive, and Independence Drive in the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This sort of goes hand in hand with Resolution 27-17. What I'd like to do is go when we go out for bids on the OPWC project, I'd like to bid these three particular streets as alternate bids. Obviously, there's some economies of scale of using the same contractor that we would use on the OPWC project. I did budget some additional dollars in the budget with the idea of being able to do something like this. I don't know if I can afford it or not until we open the bids. So I want the opportunity to do that. I'm optimistic we can, but until we open the bids, I didn't want to commit to the project per se. Mr. Scott has been out doing his PCR ratings. These streets, he's identified as some of the worst in regards to asphalt streets. And East Oak obviously makes sense, piggybacking on the West Oak portion of that project as well. So I have an engineer's estimate on the project of about $200,000. I'm hoping it comes in a little less than that for those three streets.
Thank you. Just so everyone knows out there, we're hoping to do these.
I want to be very clear that, yeah, and what we're going to do is we're going to alternate bid each street individually because I don't want an all or nothing. If I can, I'm going to do as many streets as I can do within the dollar amount that we have available to us.
Right.
Based on the PCR, we'll prioritize it by that ranking, which is the fairest way to do that. And so, but yeah, that's... I want to be very clear. I'm hoping to do these three streets.
Here's your street name.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's for sure.
Right. And keep in mind that this project can't even really get going until July as well. We've already had some calls from folks asking when we were going to get started. So assuming we do move forward on these projects, you wouldn't see them in front of your house till well into the summer.
Mr. Wheeler,
yes, sir.
And just to clarify, that's only the asphalt portion of East Oak Street?
Only the asphalt portion, correct. We did do a small portion of the concrete last year.
Any other comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Asparis?
Yes.
Porkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
I move resolution number 2617 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Porkman.
Porkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 2717. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears?
Yes.
Porkman?
Yes.
Resolution number 2717. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the asphalt resurfacing of West Oak Street, West Pine Street, South Pine Street, and Water Street in the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler, this
is
right on with the same or similar.
Absolutely, sir. The only difference is these streets will be done. These are part of the OPWC grant dollars, which is a 50-50 match. So this portion of the project will be done regardless of the cost. But the lower the better, obviously, in regards to then the available dollars we have to work on the other streets as well.
Any questions here? Okay, Mr. Larson.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
second, Mr. Spirit.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 2717 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution number 2817. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution number 2817. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the National Joint Powers Alliance Cooperative Purchasing to purchase one 2017 Kubota RTV X1100C or alternatively to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the national contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04. All purchase options to include an optional offset to the cost of said vehicle via the trade-in of one of the 1995 John Deere Gator 4x2 and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Larson's used to us trading in multiple vehicles. That's why I wasn't used to just saying the one. This is a an RTV that we'd be purchasing for the cemetery. The cemetery currently has the 1995 John Deere. It's overdue for a replacement, if you will. They use this for a multitude of things, hauling dirt, plowing some of the little driveways in the cemetery. Mr. Scott is here to answer any questions you might have. This is similar to what we did with the fire department last year in regards to the national alliance, if you will, is the cheaper option to go in regards to the Kubota, which is why that's listed on there. And of course, we do have the option of buying local as well if they're able to beat that bid, which we are optimistic we will get one local that will beat the federal bid.
Anybody have any questions?
This will be coming out of the cemetery
fund? Thank you. Yes, this will be coming out of cemetery funds, so it will be exclusively used for the cemetery, utilizing cemetery dollars to pay for it.
Any others? Mr. Chu.
John, do you guys have a preference with the Kubota over?
We actually went and got four different prices. We gave a spec of what we wanted for the UTV and sent it out to four separate dealers, and it came back. Two of those were completely out of our range, I believe. The other two were within a couple hundred dollars of each other. I do have the specs of those, comparing apples to apples. The Kubota has a little more power, a number of different things with the Kubota as opposed to the other ones on there. That's why we did the Kubota. I sat down with the mechanics that we have there at the garage, and we went over those, and that's what we came up with.
Thanks. Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
I move resolution number 2817 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 2917. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 2917. a resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for the emergency repair of approximately 1,500 feet of 36-inch concrete sewer main and declaring an emergency.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not a lot of description there, so let me bring everybody up to speed on this. I did send out a memo on the 10th of May. About 2 weeks ago, we discovered a partial failure of one of our main sewer lines that serves the southeast end of town. This is a line that was put in just about 30 years ago, so it's we have a premature failure that we're dealing with due to some corrosion. We did a partial inspection last week. We did another camera inspection this week, and the scope of this repair seems to be coming down a little bit, but we still haven't formally pinned down the entire length there. This is about the worst case scenario that we're looking at, but I think at the end of the day we may be coming in at about half this total length. We have a couple options that we're exploring. One is just to replace that line in kind with another concrete section of pipe or multiple sections of pipe, or we're exploring the opportunity to put a plastic liner on this thing. Both would give us comparable amounts of life. There's some economics and some pros and cons of each one that we're still trying to evaluate. A lot of that will really come on down to the distance. If we do a lot of distance, over 1,000 feet, the economics more support putting a liner in here. We have less excavation and less preparatory work on this, but we still have a couple more inspections to do to pin this down. Again, this was something that we discovered. The line's about 8 feet deep. We discovered it because we found a sinkhole, and here the line opened up. We'd have a hole probably about a foot in diameter on this line. We're looking at cost somewhere in the neighborhood of between $250,000 and $300,000 to do this. We will be deferring a couple of capital projects. These are non-critical capital projects, non-mandated upgrades at the wastewater treatment plant. We also have a $100,000 contingency fund that we also budget every year in case things get a little bit more complex than what we anticipate after we get in and do some excavating. We do have contingency plans in place if we have some further collapse of that line to bring in and do some temporary pumping on that. We have contacted a couple of our industrial users that also use that line, and we have some plans in place for them if we have a situation that requires us to move a little quickly, then we're ready to go with. This line runs back in no man's land, back behind the Quality Castings area, going up north to the wastewater treatment plant. We have a little issue trying to get into that property during the springtime due to we're back through a lot of wet areas, no wetlands, but pretty mushy area back in there. We hope to go in there and start doing repairs sometime early July or as soon as reasonably possible. We're still working on the scope of the repair on that, and we hope to have that finalized here within the next week or so. We've already talked to two or three contractors on availability and some budget costs next along that line, so we feel real comfortable with the dollar amounts that we're looking at here. And like I mentioned earlier, some of our preliminary inspections that we've done right now already have this total length scaled back significantly. We did review these same information with the utility board at their last Monday meeting. They did approve this resolution, and I'll be happy to answer any other questions that you might have regarding this.
Have
do we have any experience with the liner type repair?
No, we don't, but it's a very common practice out there. We have no concerns. We're not doing anything new or unusual. It's a very good application for this here. So it's relatively easy to do. It's not inexpensive, but when you can avoid excavating and you have some other conditions in there, it's a nice viable option for us to have.
Mr. Asparis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Brady, you mentioned you talked to two or three potential contractors. The resolution here mentions non-bidden. I would imagine that's for the emergency situation we're in now. And then have you gotten RFPs from these folks, or do you plan to?
Once we get the last inspections done, we'll be able to write up a formal scope. We're just needing to move on this thing quicker. You know, we will still have two or three bids at the end of the day. We're just going to waive the formality of advertising and bidding this work. It'll look just like anything else out there. We'll do all the project management, construction oversight in-house. Mr. Auden is fully capable of overseeing the contractor. And we won't really require any engineering as part of this. We'll be able to expedite this work by not formally bidding out there. But yeah, we will have formal contracts like we normally do. We would just be avoiding that formality of the bidding process, which adds a lot more time, and time something that we prefer to work a little bit more in haste. By the time we get it through that process, we'll be able to avert a lot of risk on this. But since we've had a partial collapse in that area, the more time that we can work into this process internally without going through the advertising process and the formality of that there. By the time we do that, we'll actually be starting to move dirt by then.
Okay. And then the second question I had was the sinkhole that you mentioned. Are we at risk anywhere else? Is there any risk?
Not that we're aware of, because it seems to be fairly localized. It's the additional length of pipe that we're looking at is just how much more it has degraded. But the area is pretty much concentrated within a couple hundred, 200 to 300 foot area. It's just how much is degraded downstream, because the corrosion dissipates with length. On that, so we want to make sure that we have the integrity of that line for another 40 or 50 years. We put these lines in, and we expect them to last 60 to 80 years.
Thank you.
And currently we have that area all cordoned off. It's fenced off there, so from a safety perspective, because some portion of it is adjacent to a sidewalk area.
Mr. Corkman.
Have we had any adverse effects of this yet?
No.
Sure we will.
Well, we have a little bit of restriction in that line, just due to some dirt that has come in here that hasn't kind of washed away, but it hasn't any impact. It's a large line that serves a large area there, but it is not full. But it moves a lot of product at the end of the day.
I'm sure, 36 inches big. Yeah. You start collapsing.
We were able to address what we were able to do, keep further materials from going in there, and some of that over time will kind of wash itself out a little bit. But there's an area that we just want to make sure that as we go a little bit further, we don't have more sections of that line that collapse, because we couldn't get in very close to that area and do a lot of inspection. We're kind of coming at it from both directions right now. But what we're seeing right now, and through the large opening that's there, we've confirmed some flow, and we have no upstream restrictions right now, and it's all downhill literally after that. So no concern other than just trying to avoid any further damage to that pipe section. We don't want another area to collapse on us and have another bottleneck that really jams things up, so to speak. So this will allow us to kind of move quickly once we get our final inspection in, finalize our scope of work, get that out to the contract, get these informal estimates pinned down, and get contracts on, get them started as soon as we can practically get the heavy equipment in, back in that area to do the excavation that's needed.
Mr. Larson.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes. I move resolution number 2917 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Shu.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes. Resolution number 3017. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Resolution number 3017. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the National Intergovernmental Purchasing Alliance, TCPN program, Federal Purchasing Cooperative, or the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative, Department of Administrative Services, for purchase and installation of two Daikin Maverick rooftop units for City Hall of the City of Orrville, Ohio, or alternatively, to purchase said equipment and installation from another vendor upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a project we've talked about for a number of years. As the mayor can attest, we've had about every summer have had significant issues with our air handler system. As a result, there's been some iffy days there, but we've been warned by the individual that contracts repairs of that it was on its last leg, so to speak. One of the units has been with us for 22 plus years, the other longer. That's serving the old portion of the building. And as a result, I'm trying to also coordinate the installation of the units via crane on water prior to paving water. So that's the other little balancing act that we're trying to get done here on the project as well. Our goal, obviously, is to get the lowest prices we can on the unit, which is why we threw the federal program in there as well, in an effort to get it as cheap as possible, if there is such a thing for these units. But the proposal is 55 ton between the two total, which is actually less than what's up there now, but obviously much more efficient than the old days, so to speak. So be glad to answer any questions. I've also asked Mr. Scott to attend because he has a little more of the technical knowledge than I do in this regard.
Any questions for Mr. Scott? Mr. Vance.
Been on the list for as long as I can remember. I don't want to stand in the way of anybody not having air conditioning at City Hall.
Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 3017 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mr. Shu.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 3117. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Clerk.
Asparis?
Yes.
Parkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. Resolution number 3117. a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an agreement to sell lot 3790 containing approximately 9.435 acres located in the Orville Industrial Park and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a parcel that we had originally brought before you previously for McElroy. Was in the process of buying that. In the meantime, the good news, bad news on that is they had found a existing building that they decided to go with in the what I refer to as the old industrial park on Collins Boulevard. As a result, that property came back up for sale. We were fortunate enough that Animal Supply is interested in purchasing that property. They currently have a facility in the old industrial park as well. There are still a debate on whether or not they're going to move out of there and build new and move everything in and then lease or sell that property. But the good news is they do plan to build a 105,000 square foot warehouse on that piece of land. The purchase price is $300,000, which is the same as what it was for McElroy previously as well.
Anyone have any questions?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
I second Mr. Sue.
Horstman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes, ma'am.
Asparis?
Yes.
I move resolution number 3117 be adopted as read.
Second Mr. Vance.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Horstman?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to mention that we're certainly glad that another one of our industries is doing well enough that they are looking to expand like that or build new facility total, whichever they decide to do. Either way, it's good news. I mean, they're doing very well, and that's good for everyone here. So we appreciate the good news that Animal Supply has about that. Thank you.
Anyone have anything for the good of the order this evening? Yes, sir.
I move to go to executive session for discussing acquisition of land and pending litigation.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Good memory.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Horstman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move into executive session. We have no plans for further legislation after this, Paul.
Okay.
And that will not be recorded.
It's your paper clip or mine. Who's going to have it? Just give myself a
Joe, he's just
okay. Oh, good. Thank you. I got a kid.